As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and your father." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, I have observed all of these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, for he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's first reading comes from the Book of Wisdom. The Book of Wisdom is attributed to King Solomon. We probably all remember the story that when he was made king, the prophet came to him and God wants to give you something. What is it that you desire? And he asked for wisdom. And in today's first reading, we hear how important wisdom is for him. "I preferred her to the scepter and throne and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of wisdom is a little sand, and before wisdom, silver is to be accounted mire." An author wrote that wisdom is the decision to choose God and God's way of life. Now, Solomon in his writing appreciated that gift of wisdom, but unfortunately, he fell away from God. He married a gal from a foreign land who continued to worship her false gods. And through pressure on her husband, Solomon started worshiping them as well. Her worship of the false gods became an obstacle to Solomon following God's way of life. In today's gospel reading, we hear what's probably a familiar story. A young man comes up to Jesus and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus goes through and names the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. And he goes on and on. And the young man said, well, teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus looked at him with love and said to him, you're lacking in one thing. Go sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard that statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and talked about how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Well, this answer shocked them. We could even call it scandalous to his followers, because after all, in their worldview, the rich were blessed by God. The riches that they had showed that they are favored by God. They were amazed at his words. They were exceedingly astonished and said, well, then who can be saved? In Jesus' dialogue with his disciples, he points out that commitment to God is not to be measured purely by avoiding bad things. For example, not killing, not committing adultery, not stealing. All of those things are part of God's commandments. But just avoiding those things does not mean that we have committed ourselves to God. We have to look to see what is the reason behind not doing those things. Is it because we have this misguided view that we can earn our way into heaven? Or are we motivated by love? That, of course, is what Jesus asks of us. The interaction between Jesus and that man, you know, as I said, it's a familiar story. And as I was thinking about this gospel reading, as I was preparing for this homily, it reminded me of a homily of many, many, many years ago. I was probably in grade school, and our associate pastor started his homily by saying, you've just heard a very familiar story, and it seems obvious what the main meaning of that story is. He said, but Scripture is God's living word. There are so many levels of meaning. And he used the image of peeling the first layer of an onion. Well, there's another layer. And then there's another and another. He used that to demonstrate that there is deeper meaning to all the stories and especially the sayings of Jesus. And so let's maybe try to go a little deeper. Now, Jesus loves this man. Many times in the gospel, someone comes up to Jesus and asks him a question, but it's already identified as this person is trying to trick him, is trying to trip him up. But Jesus sees that this man's desire to inherit eternal life is truly sincere. It says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Jesus is able to not only see his sincere desire to inherit eternal life, but he also sees into that man's heart an obstacle. An obstacle to completely embracing God, and that was his many possessions. Jesus asked for a total commitment of his disciples. He's asking for that man to sever his family ties and his home, just as his disciples did, and depend on the Lord's providential care. Jesus points out that these things as well can be an obstacle to totally committing oneself to him. And so what might our obstacles be? Well, last summer we saw that despite the strides we have made as a country, racism is still an obstacle. The hate-filled, judgmental political discourse that is rampant in our country is an obstacle. The need to vilify those who disagree with us is an obstacle. And yes, the desire to go after money and material possessions is also an obstacle. These are obstacles because they are not God's way of living. These are obstacles because they regulate Jesus' twofold commandment of loving God and loving our neighbor to a very, very low priority in our life. Once again, we are told to see what our motivations are in all of our actions. Is it love? Love of neighbor is an important part of that commandment, because each and every person we encounter is created in God's image and likeness. Each and every person we encounter demands respect as created in God's image. We love God when we love our neighbor. And if there are obstacles in our life of embracing that truth, as disciples of Jesus, we are called to work on removing them. For after all, through our baptismal call, we are called to grow in holiness by being more patient, more generous of our time and resources, and by relying on God to care for us. My dear friends, Jesus loved that man, and yet the obstacle in his life prevented him from returning that love and embracing commitment to our Lord. When we eliminate the obstacles in our life, when we embrace our Lord and Savior, we have made huge steps at inheriting the gift of eternal life, a gift that man sought so earnestly, the gift that Jesus wants to give each and every one of us.